hearts for worship this morning. Would you hear these words from Philippians chapter 4? Paul says, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Would you pray with me? Father God, today we remember that you are our rock, our fortress, our strong deliverer. Father, when we are honest, all of us come in this place this morning quite aware that we are weak. Though we try to put on our best face, we all have our own fears. We all know how fragile we really are. And so we've come here to encounter you and to receive from your strength, your love for us once again. Would you be exalted in this place, O God? And as you are, would you lift our hearts to live with courage in this world? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 18, we continue in our series that we've been in since the new year on the names and the character of God. Who is this God that we worship? Today, we encounter God, my strength. Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. Would you pray with me? And Father God, now as we turn to your word, we ask for your spirit to move freely in us and among us. We have come here because more than anything else, we want to encounter you, our Creator, our good Father, the living God. And so with the help of your Spirit, would you help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so that you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What makes someone strong? Maybe they've been through the fire and come out alive. Should have some pictures back here. The first one is a young man named Jacob Schick. We were in high school and youth group together. He was a Marine in the Iraq War. His vehicle hit a mine. 26 operations, 23 blood transfusions, and an amputation later. He's now one of the most vocal vets about mental illness and PTSD. He works for the Prophet 22 Kill, the nonprofit. Their whole mission is to promote awareness about the suicide epidemic among soldiers. Jacob fought, just about lost everything. And then rather than quit, he came home with a brand new mission that was all about living. Jacob is strong. So what makes someone strong? Maybe it's hours in the gym, a disciplined health regime. You know who this is? Anybody?
LeBron James.
No, not LeBron James. This is DK Metcalf. Your own Seattle Seahawks wide receiver. His arms are bigger around than my head. Look at that. It's amazing. This guy is a beast. Whenever the Seahawks recruited him, all they talked about was his muscle mass. And you know, he didn't get that way by accident. He wasn't born this way. His mom says, thanks be to God. He spent hours working on his strength, pushing through this pain to be able to overcome on the field. DK Metcalf, we would say that he is strong. So what makes someone strong is that their ability to love in the face of evil. This is Corrie Ten Boom, a victim of the Holocaust, her entire family killed in concentration camps. She survived, but not without the wounds that come from having a front row seat to the death of countless innocent people. And yet Corrie lived the rest of her life not resentful and not from a spirit of despair, but sharing a message of forgiveness that's only made possible through Jesus Christ. No one would disagree. Corrie Ten Boom is strong. So what makes someone strong? Maybe it's a refusal to quit. This old lion, his face covered in scars, but he's still kicking. And as you look at him, you can imagine what each one of these scars is from. A different battle fought, but not defeated. A different enemy that was sent away. Another meal that didn't come easily. A life of one threat after another. But he hasn't given up yet. This lion is strong. The real question perhaps this morning is, do you think you're strong? Do you have deep within yourself that resilience that doesn't quit when things get hard? Do you have that grit that tries again, even after failure? Do you have that heart that dares to love again on the other side of grief? Do you have that faith that trust again, even after disappointment? Are you strong? And if you think to yourself, yes, I am strong, do you have an awareness of where that strength comes from? And if you say, not so much, did you know that with the living God in you, you've got all you need to take on this big old scary world? Did you know that? Today we encounter God, my strength. When I think of a Bible character who's strong, I can think of none other than David. You know, David was just a kid when he won his very first battle, sending that giant Goliath crashing to the ground. But even before that, while he was still just this shepherd boy, he killed a lion and a bear to protect his sheep. And do you know how he did it? With his bare hands. This next guy up here, he's a guy named Travis Kaufman. Recognize him? He was on the news all over the place last summer. He was hiking in Colorado when he was attacked by a cougar, and he was alone. This guy killed the cougar with his bare hands. And here he was, like, the very next day on national news. And look at him. He has, like, a scratch on his nose after fighting with a cougar. The nation couldn't get enough of this guy. We are amazed by his strength. And, you know, David did the same thing, but to a lion and to a bear. And he was just a kid. He is the epitome of strength. And then he becomes that great warrior king. 1 Chronicles 18, it gives just one tiny snapshot of the many, many battles that he won in his life. In just a few verses, it says, David defeated the Philistines, captured their villages. David defeated the king of Zobah, took 1,000 chariots, 7,000 drivers, and 20,000 soldiers from him. And then it says, when the Syrian troops came to try to help this king, David defeated them too, conquering 22,000 more men. And after all of this, he took together all the gold and bronze and silver from these battles. And his territory was increasing and it was glowing. And all that rose up against him, one after another, were falling hard again and again in defeat. Israel, all of them would agree, David was the strongest warrior they had ever seen. Powerful people were out to get him, but he never shrunk back. Personal failure threatened to undo him, but he didn't give up. The grief of burying a baby and grown sons could have left him a shell of a man, but he kept on living. David is a picture of the deepest kind of strength. Where did that come from? And how did he do it? Psalm 18 gives us a glimpse into those questions. The note right before the psalm tells us a bit about its context. If you look in your Bibles, you have to actually use a Bible for this part because it's not up there. So good exercise, the Bible. They look like this. They're really great. And there's this little note right before Psalm 18 that tells us a little bit about where we find David as he writes these words. It's early in his life and he's just becoming a leader. And it says that he has just been delivered from his enemies and from the current king Saul, whom he will soon replace. And so after a decisive victory, David pens these powerful words. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. You see, David knew exactly where his strength came from. Not the weight room, not his wits, not just his natural charm and charisma, not his skill with a slingshot. David knew that his strength came from the Lord, only from the Lord. That it was always, ever a gift from the Lord. He says without apology, I love you, God, my strength. Did you know that his Lord is your Lord too? Did you know that? Did you know that his strength, the strength we see in King David, is your strength? For the taking too. Did you know that? Let's get to know what kind of strength we can have with this God on our side. First and foremost, we have a strength at our disposal that doesn't require us to be the strong ones. And thanks be to God for that. David knows the Lord, and he knows that the strength that he has within him to do these amazing things, it's nothing more than just an overflow of the Lord alive and moving in him. And there is such freedom in this, you guys. Because I don't know about you, but I just really don't feel all that strong most of the time. And yet, I feel this great deal of pressure. I think I mostly just put it on myself. To just kind of suck it up and fake it till I make it. And say, I don't need that help. I got this, I got that, I got it, I got it. And you know, being a single woman who has to make a lot of things happen on my own quite often, I've realized that one of the things that can bring me to tears the very quickest is when I am brought face to face with my own weakness. And those things that I can't just make happen in my midst. When I lived in Texas, I had this really cute little yard at this really cute little first house that I owned, my very first home. And I loved that house, and I loved that yard. And I even loved doing yard work because it was my very own yard. How cool was that to have your own yard? And I had worked for it, and I was paying for it, and I was strong enough in this world to make it on my own because I had my little house and I had my little yard, and it was mine. This proved it. I was strong. That's what I thought most days until it came time to weed eat this cute little yard. I could mow all day, but I had this stupid weed eater that I am convinced God put in my life just to make me cry. Because it did every time. I go to my garage, pull out the weed eater, and I would do all the things right. I read the instructions every time because I knew I could do this. And I would find that little button, I don't know any technical terms, you know, the one you pump, the gas comes up. And I would do it not too many times, not too few. And I'd get all primed, and then I'd get that cord, and I'd get ready to pull that cord as hard as I could, and I'd pull that cord. And I tell you, every time I'd bang my knee right off the bat. And then I'd get mad, so I'd pull harder, and then I'd throw it out with my other hand. And there's the weed eater just mocking me. And then I would just, you know, muster up all the strength I had left, and I would pull, and I'd pull, and I'd pull, and I'd hear that thing go, boom. And that was it. And I can't tell you how many times I threw that weed eater across the yard, and I sat on my back steps, and I wept. I hated that weed eater, because it reminded me that I wasn't strong enough to do what needed to be done on my own. And some message deep inside of me told me that I had to be strong enough. How long does it take us to realize we don't have to be strong enough on our own? How long? How many broken weed eaters does it take? We don't have to muster up some power from deep within ourselves to just try to make the pain go away. We don't have to somehow find some way to break down those walls of fear and just get over it. And we don't have to figure out deep within ourselves what we're going to do to conquer some enemies and crank up weed eaters. We are called to be strong, no doubt, but not on our own. God calls us strong because he is the God of the universe, and he has chosen for some crazy reason to take up residence inside of us. And when we let him, his strength bubbles up in us and becomes the very strength by which we need to live. We don't have to be strong enough because this strength that is yours for the taking, it is nothing less than the strength of the living God. You don't have to dig deep within yourself and muster it up and put on that good face. You just have to open your hands and receive it. David knows this, and he proclaims humbly and confidently, I didn't do this. Oh, Lord, you are my strength. And then he gives three images to show what kind of strength this is that God gives us. To give us a picture, because strength is a very vague word at times. These pictures show us that this is a kind of strength that is deeper and greater than the arm strength to start a weed eater. That would be great, but it's more than that. The first picture, David calls God my rock. My rock. We had quite the windstorm the other night. Remember it? There are limbs still all over my driveway, and I hear there was even a tree on it that poor Zeta moved out of the way for me because I was gone. When I got home, the cushions on my patio were all over the place. Not one where they belong. Everything was disheveled by this wind that blew through. But would you know that I looked out on my balcony through the trees over the way at Mount Jupiter, you know, one of those Olympic mountains. And would you know it looked the same? After a really big windstorm, it looked the same. That massive rock stands firm, more or less unshakable, the same yesterday and today, and probably for my life at least, all the days. I don't think it's a volcano, as far as I know. A rock. It's a strong foundation. It's what a wise man builds his house on, Jesus says. God, my rock. That is the God who gives me strength to stand, even when the world is nothing less than chaos all around me. This is the God of my strength, the rock that this man named Horatio Spafford knew. You heard that name? His picture will be up there. He lost his 2-year-old son in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Then his business failed shortly thereafter. And so to try to piece his life together, he was going to send his family to Europe for a fresh start. Last minute, he got held back on some business stuff, and so he sent them ahead and he would catch up with them. While crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship that was carrying his 4 daughters and his wife crashed and sank. He received a telegram from his wife, and all it said in it was "saved alone." He lost all of his girls, too. And so Spafford, as soon as he could, got on the next ship and traveled to go and meet his wife. And as his ship passed that place in the waters where his daughters had passed, he penned these words: "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, you know, it is well. It is well with my soul." Did Horatio Spafford somehow dig deep and bring these words out all on his own? No way. After burying 5 children? No way. "It is well with my soul," as he passed the place in the water where that ship lay. Those are words that can only come from a grieving man who is actively being embraced by the arms of God, my rock, my strength. When everything else turned upside down, he found one place that stood firm. God, my rock, my strength. Do you know this God? You'll remember that at Advent a year back, our friend Andy went through surgery to remove cancer. And I told you this story that very next Sunday because I was so moved by it. When I went to visit him in the hospital, hours out of surgery, on that little whiteboard in the hospital under goals, it said, "Be at church Sunday. Emmanuel, God is with us." Facing the scary health crisis, my friend was resting easy in the arms of a God who is the same. Even when a diagnosis throws us for a loop, you can't muster that up on your own, and you don't have to. God, my rock, my strength to stand firm when the world shakes beneath me. Do you know him? I know you do, Jolene. I almost told your story in place of his. Really. I just ran out of time. My grandpa. He was 90 years old when he went in for triple bypass surgery. Doctors told him he had a 50-50 chance of making it off the table. Moments before the doctors took him back, he looked at my stepdad, his son, in the eyes, and he said, "Don't you worry about me." He said, "It's a win-win." He said, "A few hours from now, I either come out of here living with you all more, and that's good, or I'll be seeing my Jesus." He said, "I'm not afraid. Why are you afraid?" And you know, he didn't make it that day. But he died resting in the arms of the rock. God, my strength. Steady when this world is not. Do you know him? Not just have you heard about him. Do you know him? This God who holds you when everything is crumbling. This God who stands firm when life is shaking. This is your God, your rock. You need not panic at every curveball. His strength, it is yours for the taking. Your rock. He'll give you the strength to stand. And then David says, God, my fortress. Fortress, that's what the fort's named after, this image. What is a fort? But it's this place to come and to rest. This place to hide out and to eat. This place to resupply in times of battle. Fortresses, they're not places that you move into and you stay forever. They're places that you hunker down and you get what you need to be safe for the night so you can be refueled to get back out there and get back in the game. That's what a fortress is. My friend Charles, he does watercolor, and he has on his wall this beautiful picture he's done of this tower in Ireland that he saw on his travels. Looks kind of like that. And as we talked about his picture, he explained to me that as enemies would head for these small villages, folks would have a tall ladder that would reach up to that little opening in the tower, and the village people would climb the ladder, and then they would jump inside. And once they were all safely inside, they'd pull the ladder in. And so when the enemies made it to their place, they could defend themselves, or at least they could hide out for a little while and be safe from danger. But you're not going to make your home in this tower. It's a place to run. It's a place to get the strength that is needed to come back out and to press on in the good work. God, my strength, my tower, my fortress. David knew this God. This God who filled him up and gave him rest and tended to his wounds and then sent him back out to get to work. Do you know God, my fortress? Martin Luther King Jr., he knew this fortress God. One night he was sitting at his dining room table late at night. His family had all gone to bed already. And his phone rang, almost at his house phone, as if there was other options back then. His phone rang. Picked it up, the voice on the other end said, Martin, if you don't stop doing what you're doing, if you don't stop preaching what you're preaching, I am going to blow away you and your entire family. Hung up. Martin sat there at his table and he said that he began to shake and to sob. And he told God that night, he said, God, this has gotten to be too much. He said, my family did not ask for this. I'm ready to call it quits. And in the silence of his home, Martin says he heard the audible voice of God. And it said, never alone, Martin. I will never leave you alone. That's all it said. But it was just what his terrified, weary, battle-worn soul needed. For his heart to be refueled, to keep on keeping on. God, my fortress, my strength to press on. Do you know this God? Do you know this strength? You can't find it on your own. In college, I was preparing to go to the Middle East for summer missions. And I started having nightmares every single night. And in these, there were these images of being caught up in a terrorist attack and being kidnapped and taken away. And I'd wake up in my dorm room and I'd be shaking. And I'd be begging God to send me anywhere else in the world. Anywhere else. And one night, as I sat in bed in the middle of the night, and I was trembling from one of these dreams. God spoke to my heart, not audible like Martin Luther King heard. He spoke to my heart so clearly. And what I heard him whisper was, Jamie, those nightmares are not from me. It is the enemy, and he's getting to you while you're tired and while you're alone. And he simply said, just don't let him. Sounds easy. You know, the very next night, a nightmare woke me up again. And I sat up in my bed and I said, Satan, you don't get this time from me. Jesus told me that I get to rest. And you know what happened that night? I fell back asleep immediately, and I didn't have a nightmare like that ever again. And you know what else? I went to the Middle East that summer and had the most transformative summer of my life. And to think that the enemy tried to steal that from me, what a punk. What a punk. God, my fortress. He gave me permission to rest and to refuel under his care so I could wake up strengthened to keep on pressing on in this good work we have to do. This is our God, our strong tower, our fortress. Do you know him? Do you know him? Finally, David names God my deliverer. That's my rescuer from enemies. And David had some real ones, lots of them. But you know what about David? He lived to the age of 70, and he didn't get taken down by a single one of those thousands upon thousands of enemies. And you know, we have enemies too. Hopefully no one's actively trying to kill you today, but we have plenty of enemies that are trying to take from us the full life that God's given us to live, don't we? I wonder what's your biggest enemy these days. I wonder what's most keeping you from being fully alive in Jesus Christ. Whatever that is, odds are only God, your deliverer, has the strength you need to overcome that. Odds are it's been your same enemy for a long time. And odds are you're not going to muster up the strength to turn a new chapter on your own. My friends who have been through AA or something like it, they know that the very first step to freedom from addiction is what? Admitting that we are powerless to fix and deliver ourselves. Can't do it. To be well, we have to admit that we need someone bigger than us, beyond us, stronger than us to intervene in our lives and to set us free. We have to get to that place. A 2016 Surgeon General's report says that 2/3 of the folks who are successful in recovery, 2/3, recognize a spiritual dimension as essential to their healing. 2/3 would say there is no way I would be well and free apart from something bigger than myself. 2/3 admit there is no way they could have found freedom from their enemy on their own. They had to have a higher power. And you know, David knows his name. He calls him God, my deliverer. Yahweh, strength to overcome. Whoever that enemy is that's holding your life back from the life God, your good Father, has for you, God, your deliverer, he's in you. And in you, you've got all the strength you need to overcome and to live fully alive. Do you believe that? Do you know God, my deliverer? If you know him, tap into that strength and be set free. How, we ask. It all sounds great. How do I tap into that strength? David gets in touch with God, my strength, through one thing. Did you catch it? It's simply this: worship. He says, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so I shall be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord, who's worthy to be praised. Anyone feeling defeated this morning? Call on the name of Jesus and worship him. sing your heart out. Songs that declare the truth of the power and goodness of who he is. And sing until you believe the words that your lips are saying. Worship him. Read the promises of Scripture out loud to God. Declare using his very own words who he is and what he can do. And read them until your own soul can stand in them. Call on his name. When you're about to fall, just try. Just try to call out that name. Jesus. Jesus. And just keep calling it until you know that he's right there. How do I find the strength that you say I have because God is in me? Worship him. Because when we worship him, we acknowledge his presence. And we release it to do what only it can do. Stand on that rock until you know that God is God and he's got this chaos. Show up at that fortress and climb that ladder and jump in. You know, a fortress isn't helpful if you run right by it in your frenzy. Slow down. Draw near to God and rest in his embrace. He has promised to renew your weary hearts as you do that. And quit trying to unlock your own handcuffs while you stand in the presence of God, your deliverer. That's just silly. Stop pretending that you can get them off on your own and doing all this weird stuff while Jesus is standing right there saying, maybe I can give you a hand. I don't know. Maybe you'll let me help. You see, he won't deliver you if you're holding on to the key with clenched fist. Just let him have it. This is how you find God, my strength. Draw near and worship him. My friend's dad was dying of a really painful cancer. And she sat with him one day as her mom went out and ran errands. And when her mom came home that afternoon, she asked how he did that day. My friend said, you know, I think he had a good day. She said, he was back in his bedroom most of the day, and he was just singing out worship songs to Jesus all day long. He must be feeling better today. Her mom had a tear in her eye, and she said, that means he's had a really hard day. She said, you see, he sings when it hurts. He sings when it hurts. He sings when it hurts. God, my strength, when it hurts. When we're weak, we will know him. Not by pretending we've got this. Not by throwing the weed or across the yard and having a fit. We will know him when it hurts through worship. If it hurts today, my friends. If you are weak today, my friends. If you are ready to admit that you're just not all that strong today, my friends, just try this. Try out some worship. Let's sing when it hurts. And before we know it, God, my strength, will be singing his love song over you. God, my strength. This is the truth. You've got the fullness of him in you. Do you know that? Do you know that? What are you going to do with it? Would you pray with me? Father God, in just a moment we're going to sing. And many of us will be singing from a place of surrender. A place of weakness, a place of hurt. Could this be a holy, sacred moment where we stop pretending that we're strong enough to take life on our own and where we finally run to you, our rock, our fortress, our deliverer? Would you let your strength fill us and send us out today? We are only strong in you. And thank you that in you we are more than strong enough. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.